Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior!
Amen. Anybody else got anything? Don't want to shut nobody out. Bless you, honey. Bless your heart. Amen. Amen, honey. Amen. 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 Yes. That's the amen to that. That's an answer prayer right there. We prayed a lot for her. That's an answer prayer, people. Amen. Anyone else? All right.
This morning. It's a nice crowd to look back and see people coming. This puppet skit was actually planned many years ago and was never performed. It started when Isaac Kuntz was in the puppetry. Isaac, would you stand up? kind of get an idea how many years might have passed. Thank you. Actually, it came across my mind again when his two brothers were in it. So would they stand up? One of them is gone. Okay. And we didn't get it done then either. And I kept struggling with it because I knew what the Lord was pointing me towards, but I wasn't getting the whole picture. And so it kept putting on the back burner, and we brought out other skits and things. But anyway, recently we were to have the puppets again, and it was scheduled for, I think it was September to start with, and then it got moved on down until it's now October. And at that time, I really wasn't really aware of exactly when the revival was going to be, but something kept delaying it. And so finally things got put together, and lo and behold, this is a skit that really fits really well with our revival. That's how the Lord works. I mean, I was getting frustrated, but he wasn't. I mean, he knew what he was doing. I was the one that didn't know what the Lord had in mind. But this skit is called The Roman Road. And if you are familiar with the teachings of the Roman Road, it explains the path to salvation. And I'm hoping that if there's anyone here that's never received Jesus as their Savior, that this will be the time you'll consider and get your heart ready, because the Lord could come before revival starts, and we don't want to put it back and put it aside. We want to be able to say we're ready to go. So anyway, in the past couple bulletins, I put in there that the puppet team was going to not only perform the Roman Road skit, but there would all be a special singing group that was going to join us in this performance, and it was a local famous group. And if you would, Greg, would you put that on the screen? And we're going to show you the group that's going to join us. Anybody recognize anybody in that picture? Okay. If you will, Greg, just go ahead and begin to roll the facts that we found out about it. Meredith and Jessica got their heads together and gathered up the information that I was needing to explain a little bit about One Accord. We wanted to honor them this evening, or this morning, and we're going to use some of their songs. And this is some of the facts that we found out. You can read and enjoy reading about it. It's better than me telling it, because when you read something, it stays with you a little better. But anyway, One Accord was organized in November of 1998 and first sang at Gold Town in February 1999 in a youth service. The original groups, Chris Koontz, Tommy Weaver, Michael Landis, and Kevin Landis, and Rick Horn. Michael left the group after 5 years to begin preaching, and Rick Horn played bass, guitar, flat top, guitar, and piano. One Accord sang together for 13 years and recorded 7 albums. The group's name came from Philippians 2:2. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And this is the picture of the group. And I think the bottom one has, I can't remember which one it was, the preacher. But anyway, he left, but Rick Horn's in that picture at the bottom. But this is some of the earliest pictures of the group, was it not? Okay, Chris, would you stand? Now, this is the fellow we're kind of honoring, because he's our choir director now. And I can remember when he was born, if that tells you anything. He's a big boy now. But anyway, he's been a singer as long as I can remember, and I'm thankful for what he's provided for the Lord in service in his music, and now he's gone on to another group. And Chris, would you like to say anything before we start the puppet program?
God's been good.
Yes, he has.
It's, I've been singing gospel music for 43 years of my life, and I'm 48. So that ought to tell you, I've pretty much been doing it as long as I've had memory.
Yeah.
I don't regret a mile.
No.
I don't regret a mile. Sometimes I'm tired. You all see me come back here, I might be singing. Sometimes I'm tired. But I don't regret them all. And you get a phone call or you get a text from somebody that you gave a CD to because they didn't have anybody. And they come to hear you sing.
That's great.
And they were at rock bottom.
Yeah, bless you.
CD with the new group, and the Lord has blessed, and I'm thankful, and oh my, I can tell you some stories.
Yeah.
I can tell you some stories, but my dad instilled in me that if you have a talent that you use for the Lord, you need to do it. If you don't do it, God will take it from you and give it to somebody else. And he didn't call me to preach. He didn't call me to do anything else. He called me to sing. And I always said that I wanted to sing. Just like my daddy. I'm not quite there yet, but the Lord's working on me. And I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. Bless you for doing this. This is a surprise. Isaac was 2 years old when we started this.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's sitting with me.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
That's a blessing.
Yeah.
You pray for us. You pray for me. Look, I just want to do what God tells me to do.
Right.
And the best way that I know how to tell people about Jesus is to sing to them. And as long as I've got breath and vocal cords, until God tells me to quit, I'm going to keep on keeping on. So you pray.
Yes. We're thankful for Chris and all his family. They've all been a blessing and busy in the church working, and I'm thankful for them. And please pray for that group, the new group as well, as they're on the road and traveling. It gets dangerous sometimes, weather situations and roads that you go on sometimes are scary. I can fully understand where he's coming from and going out and singing. Here we're blessed. We have plenty of congregation, plenty of musicians, plenty of teachers. We are blessed. We have lots of singers. But we go to churches, all our groups that goes out, go to churches that have nothing. They don't have a pastor. They don't have a singer. There's not a musician in the church. And they are hungry, hungry for the word of God and song. And it's a blessing when you go out because you see them starting to raise their hands and praise the Lord when maybe they hadn't been able to do it for a long time. Then you realize what your purpose is.
Yes.
In going out to sing. It hurts sometimes to walk away from home church for a while to go to do what God has asked you to do. And sometimes it feels kind of lonely when they're gone and we're here and we think, well, where are they? We need them. But look around. There's no reason why people can't step forward and fill in those blanks when it's needed, so that people who have to go out and do these things can do them with a clear heart that they're doing it for the Lord. You pray for the groups that's in the church, both that those sing in the church and those that sing out of the church, because we're all working together in one accord. To help serve the Lord. We're going to present the puppets now. And we, a long time ago, Greg Kuntz and Meredith helped me gather some of the songs that this early group had. And that's how I had them on tape for a long time, but I wasn't sure how to put them together in a skit until God gave it to me here a little while back. And so you're going to see one accord looking a little different. And I hope you enjoy it.
Today, we are going to present the Roman road to salvation through scriptures and song. If you have your Bible, I'd love for you to read along with me. Until a person realizes that he or she is a sinner and lost in the darkness of evil, they cannot and will not seek God, nor understand the fullness of His mercy, love, and grace. Without hearing the Word, the person is doomed for hell. The Bible tells us that in order to find God, we must first be exposed to the preaching of His Word. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This preaching can come in different forms, but basically it is the expounding and enlightening of the Word of God to reveal the sinner's lost condition and provide the remedy of redemption through Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. The puppet quartet is going to sing a song about how a preacher expounded on the Word and led a lost man to Jesus. Let's begin our journey on the Roman road. Get your Bibles and look up these scriptures with me. To the world, the Bible may seem obsolete and foolish, but it is God's spoken, written, and inspired word to mankind, a type of love letter to us here on earth. Even when people use God's name in cursing or make fun of His Son Jesus in disrespectful jokes, God still loves them and wants to have fellowship with them. He desires to bless them and not curse them, because His love and forgiveness exceeds any sin they have committed. But they must first realize what sin is and how it affects their relationship with their Creator. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 10, 9 through 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible is clear. Jesus Christ, and he alone, provides the red blood that cleanses a black heart and washes it white as snow. It is through Jesus that we have the promise of forgiveness here and now, and eternal life when we end our time on earth. Jesus is our rock and a foundation on which our hope is built. The quartet will now sing a song about Jesus, our Savior and rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
The last verse of this song says, When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Here are other verses to see in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus came to die on a cross, shed his own blood to redeem us, and promises to give us eternal life if we will accept his payment for our sin. What a powerful love! He loves us unconditionally, even though we are not worthy of this love. Good works won't save us. Large donations or tithing amounts will not save us. Our looks, character, education, or social status will not save us. Only the shed blood of Jesus can blot out the recording of our sins in heaven's book of life. It is the only atonement that Father God will accept. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. When we accept Jesus as our Savior and His payment on the cross, we have peace. Our faith in Him removes all condemnation. His Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts, to comfort, guide, and teach us the way to live and enjoy life abundantly. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This means that we are given a new spiritual heart that feels compassion and love. We have new eyes to see the blessings around us and the workings of God. We have new feet to walk in holiness and favor with the Lord. We have a new tongue that praises our Savior and Creator, that witnesses to others of God's love and forgiveness, and can pray to God in communion of fellowship. We have new hands that desire to work and help our fellow man, and we have new ears to hear the voice of the Lord when He speaks to us. This process of changing the old things into new is called being born again. It is a real experience that only God provides. Here again is the quartet to sing about this change.
When Paul met the Lord on Damascus Road, he never was the same again. When Peter met the Lord, he left his boat and started fishing for men. Now I may not be Peter or Paul, but one thing I can truly say, when I met the Lord and made Him my choice, He definitely made a change.
He made a change, He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change,
He made a change in the way that I'm talking.
And old things pass away, behold, everything is new.
He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you.
Now I've seen some old friends shaking their heads, cause they never thought they'd see the day when a sinner like me would praise the Lord or bow my head to pray. Now I'm not what I used to be. You see, my life has been rearranged. There's nothing that I've done, but I have found someone who definitely made a change.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking.
And all things pass away. Behold, everything is new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven.
If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking.
Old things pass away. Behold, everything is new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in me.
Oh,
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking.
Old things pass away. Behold, everything is new.
I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you. If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you. Oh, if He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you. He made a change.
We hope that everyone who is here today has made a change by accepting Jesus as your Savior. If you haven't, this would be a great time to do so. The altar is always open for prayer, and there will be believers here to pray with you. By accepting Jesus as your Savior, He will forgive you of every sin you have ever committed or ever will commit. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 103, 11 and 12, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." That is the kind of forgiveness we all long for. You will have peace, joy, contentment, and the promise of eternal life in the hereafter. It costs you nothing, but it costs Jesus everything to provide this for you, me, and all of mankind. The day is soon coming when He will return to our world. He will split the eastern sky to call us up to be with Him in heaven. Are you ready if Jesus would come in the next hour, or would you be left behind? As the quartet sings their last song, won't you consider accepting Jesus as your Savior today so you can be ready to cross over into heaven when He returns? Come during this song, and Jesus will meet you here. There will be someone here to pray with you.
Moses led his people out of Egypt's land. Pharaoh chased God's children with an army band. God told Moses, "Take your rod and raise your hand." Then the sea was parted, it was made dry land.
I'm ready to cross.
Ready to cross. Cross over Jordan wide.
And I'm gonna sing.
I'm gonna sing. Praises to the Lamb who died.
And I'm gonna shout.
I'm gonna shout. Hosannas to my King. For I know that I am ready to cross.
For many years I've wandered in this world below, choosing not to serve the one who loved me so. Then I looked back to Calvary where His crimson flow washed away my sins, and now I'm white as snow.
I'm ready to cross.
Ready to cross. Cross over Jordan wide.
And I'm gonna sing.
I'm gonna sing. Praises to the Lamb who died.
And I'm gonna shout.
I'm gonna shout. Hosannas to my King. For I know that I am ready to cross.
I'm ready to cross.
Ready to cross. Cross over Jordan wide.
And I'm gonna sing.
I'm gonna sing. Praises to the Lamb who died.
And I'm gonna shout.
I'm gonna shout. Hosannas to my King. For I know that I am ready to cross. For I know that I am ready to. For I know that I am ready to. For I know that I am ready to cross. Cross over to the other side.
Page 241, 241.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me us.
Puppets, I'd like for all the puppets to stand with their puppets. Should have warned, but I didn't. I imagine most of you would wonder who did that or what puppet was that. This is going to let you know. And this is speaking for his own voice. Okay. Who do you think this one is? And this one?
Tommy.
This one?
Yeah. Mike.
All right. Now you get to see what the new what a chord is like. Okay, thanks again. They did a wonderful job.
For their ministry. And Judy would be the first to tell you that she's not the director of the puppets. And she'll tell you that because she allows God to be the director of the puppets. And as you saw this morning, she was following what God would have her do and what God was telling her to do through this ministry. And same with Chris. Chris will tell you he's not the director of the choir, but he lets God direct what he does. And Tiffany, everything that she does. But she's got something to say.
Okay. I don't even know if she can hear me now, but I'm thankful for my mom. She had this vision of puppets when I was a kid. You know, I grew up every year doing puppets as a Christmas program. And it was a blessing. I was thankful for it. And when she decided to start it here, she asked if I'd help. And I was in the last trimester with Trent when we started puppets out here. And I didn't attend here, but I came and helped her on Wednesday night. So he's been around it whenever we do Wednesday night, she'd have a lesson. And then it wasn't a big youth group at the time, but we had Erica and Tabitha and Jason and all of them. And I'd lay him down on the floor. And then we'd be working with the puppets. And I just thought, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a mom who listens to God. Amen. And who saw a vision and worked hard. There's been times that she said, I'm done, I can't do this anymore. You know, we're just getting up in years. Not that she's old, but she's getting up in years. And I just kept saying, no, Mom, you can't. My kids have to experience this. You can't quit yet. You've got to let my kids experience this. And I'm just thankful. Mine are in college, getting married, you know, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that she saw that vision and that she listened to God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
In a big group of, well, I can't say that anymore. He's kind of come out of his shell. But growing up, he was always one who kind of sat back a little bit. You know, didn't really get in front of people. Just wasn't his nature. But when they invited him to do puppets, that's where he found himself in the church. He was able to get behind that stage and just come alive with the puppets. And he could make that puppet do and say and act any way that he was honestly feeling, but might not show you. So if you have a young one who is a little bit shy or a little more timid, puppets might be their calling. It might be something that they're drawn to, something that they can just sit behind the stage and nobody see them, but really come alive and serve the Lord in it. So
amen.
That's just my take on it, but, you know, it's a wonderful ministry. My hope it continues.
Bless you. Amen. Someone else.
Bless you. I'm thinking back to when we had a son that did not want to get up and sing, but he wanted to do something for the Lord. And he joined puppets, and there was a time when Judy's number dwindled down, he was the only one. She still met with him, gave him solo parts to do, so that he could still have that ministry that for him. Who else would do that for one? And I think about how many in our church have benefited from
we're certainly thankful for Judy. And as Tiffany said, last thing she said was she's glad that her mom listened to what God would have her do. And that's what we'll talk a little bit about this morning, is listening to God. It's one of the things, the themes that we had talked about, back to the basics. And it is basic to listen to God, but there's a lot that goes into that. And I hope you listen to what, because they already preached a message this morning through Judy and through the puppet ministry. They've already preached a message, and hopefully you listen to that and allow it to sink in. And but we're certainly thankful for her, and we're thankful for One Accord and what they did, listening to God, having God direct them. And I'll just say this, I'm glad that, you know, Chris mentioned giving CDs away. If you didn't have any money, there was one night that I was at Fisher Chapel and they came to sing, and I didn't have any money with me. But Chris gave me a CD, and it helped change my life, because I listened to every song. So I'm thankful for that, and that God would have him do that for someone like me. And so they've touched many people. But listening to God, how do you listen to God? It seems like a simple thing to listen, but it's a little bit more difficult, because as we know, maybe God speaks in a different way to us than he did to people way back in the Bible, in the Old Testament. We know that when you listen to somebody, mainly it's when somebody is talking, when somebody is audibly speaking and you are hearing with your ears what they have to say. Well, with God, things are a little bit different, because even though he can, and even though I know that there are instances where God audibly talks to people, but mostly he does it through a different way. And that's why we're going to talk about how to listen to God. Why do we need to learn to listen? So the first thing I would say is, number one, we need to know how God speaks to us. We need to understand his voice and what he is saying. And so with that, I'll go to Jeremiah chapter 31:31. Because that's in the Old Testament. It's where through God speaks through Jeremiah. See, back then he would speak through people. He would speak to people, and then they would give out his word. And the prophets would give out his word. But Jeremiah is going to tell us something about how God is going to speak to us in the coming days. In verse 31 it says this, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." We know about the old covenant that he made with Abraham, about, you know, how Israel would be the people of Israel would be his people. And he gave them the commandments. Through Moses, he gave them the commandments, and these commandments were written in stone. But he also gave them the rest of the ordinances to go by. And so a lot of things were said and done outwardly. When God spoke to Moses, he spoke through the burning bush. And he spoke to him in different ways. But when he speaks to Jeremiah here, he says, "The days will come that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts." God is speaking, and he's telling him about a different kind of way of communication. A different way, rather than coming in the form of angels or in the form of a burning bush or in the form of, you know, coming and speaking to them audibly. He said there's a new way, a new covenant that will be written in their hearts. "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." There's a lot in that we can unpack, but basically God telling us that there is a new covenant that is coming along. Speaking of, he's speaking about the covenant that Jesus Christ will establish here on earth. The covenant of this, the Holy Spirit. That is indwelling of the Spirit, indwelling of the heart, where he speaks to us. He's telling us that although in the old days it was written in stone, now it will be written in our hearts. And in the old days, people approached God through mediators. People approached God through the priest. People approached God through these physical things. But he's saying in the new covenant, people will have direct access to God, which is why we have direct access to God today through Jesus Christ, who became our mediator. But we have direct access. So when we say, how does God speak to us? He speaks to us directly. He speaks to us directly. And where did he say he would put it? He said he would put it in our hearts. And so we know when God speaks to us because he speaks to our heart. And he lets us know things through our heart, how we feel, and how he directs us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 11, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said this, talking about the future that was going to come after he had spoke these things. He said, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say." When they bring you before the synagogues and the magistrates and the powers, don't think about what you will have to say or what you shall answer, because it says this, "For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to let you know what to say and what to do. God will direct us. He will direct us individually. He will tell us, the Holy Spirit will let us know what to do and what to say. So when Judy gets up and she says that I was just listening to God and what and how to do this and what to do and when to start the ministry, what she is saying is that God was dealing with her heart to do that thing. Because he does. He deals with our heart. He didn't show up and send a letter in the mail that says, Judy, you got to do this thing. Or show up and in a vision and say that. But he puts it in her heart, the thing that she ought to do. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus' crucifixion. And they meet up with Jesus, not knowing who it was. But while he talked with them, and then he talked with them a while, and then he departed. And immediately they knew who it was, because it says, they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he was talking to us?" And so God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit that speaks directly to our hearts, so that we know, we recognize when God is speaking to us. We should recognize when he is talking to us, because he talks directly to us through our heart and our feeling. Number two, to listening to God. Number two key to listening to God is to know God's word and hide it in your heart. How do we communicate with God? We have to know what God says to us in order to understand what it is he wants us to know. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And if you go and you look in Psalm, the whole chapter of Psalm 119, there's 176 verses. And basically, in one way or the other, all of those verses say the same thing that this verse says, that they will hide his statutes in his heart. Like verse 176, it says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." The whole thing, all 176 verses, talks about knowing God's word and what he says to us, and depending on God's word and trusting in God's word. Because if we don't know God's word, then we don't know of his goodness. If we don't know God's word and what he did for other people, then we don't know what he can do for us. You know, God often said in the Old Testament, he said to Joshua, As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Well, you've got to understand, and you've got to know what he did for Moses to know what he's going to do for you. And so we have to understand and know God's word to listen to what God is telling us. Because we have everything that he has said. Everything, all of his commandments are here. All of his advice for our living is here. All of his examples for how to live for him is here. All of the warnings, all of the people who didn't listen to God, the warnings are there in that Bible. And how can we know how to live our lives if we don't know his word and we haven't hidden it in our heart? You say, well, God will tell me. Yeah, but God tells us through his word also. He speaks to our heart, but he also speaks through the word that we know, the words of life to go on. And finally, point number three on how to listen to God. It says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. There is a difference between listening and hearing. There is a difference between listening and hearing. James chapter 1, verse 22 says this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because it says this, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So be doers of the word and not hearers only. What does that mean? What is the difference between listening and hearing? When you look it up, listen says this, to take notice of and act on what someone says. To take notice of and act on what someone says. This is what it says about hearing. To be told or informed of. To be told or to be informed of something. And so it's one thing to hear and to say, you know what? That speaks to me and that challenges me to do something. Jesus spoke, and he gave the Sermon on the Mount, and he spoke to a multitude of people. Multitude of people, and they all heard the same thing. They all heard the same thing. But some were listeners, and some were hearers. Some became disciples, and some became persecutors. Some became followers, and some became, you know, ones that just denied. They became deniers. And so they heard the same thing, but they had different reactions to those things. Hearing is not the same as listening. In this place this morning, we can all hear the same thing, but people have different reactions to it. And so that doesn't put all the power on the speaker or the one who does the ministry or the one who does the singing. That doesn't put the power on those people. They just do what God tells them to do. When we sing about Christ, we're spreading a message. When we preach about Christ, we're spreading a message. When we do the puppets and we do the ministry up here, we're spreading the message. But the power is in the listener. The power is in the one who hears. Jesus talks about the parable of the sower and about how some seeds would fall on fertile ground and some seeds would take place and they would bring forth fruit. But a lot of other seeds would just get blown away, or the birds would come and take them, or the sun would, they weren't buried very deep, and the sun would scorch the ground and they would die. The seeds are sown through his word. And his word says that they don't go out in vain. His words do not go out in vain. But it's up to us with what we do with it. I've said it before. I can give you a package of seeds today. I can give each and every one of you a package of seeds and say, this is the word of God. And you can take those seeds and you can take them home and you can set them on the counter. And they'll stay like that forever. They won't do anything. Or you can take them and you can plant them and you can water them and you can put them in good soil and you can have some fruit. But it's all on what we do with Jesus, what we do with his word. Because hearing, that would be like taking those seeds and just tossing them aside and saying, I heard it, I got it, thank you. Now what? Bless me, Lord. Put the seeds down on the table. Bless me, Lord. Or go back next week and get some more seeds. I'm going to go every Sunday and I'm going to get my seeds. And then you take your seeds and take them home and you put them in the closet or put them on the shelf. That is being a hearer only. And Jesus warns us about being a hearer only. And so the power is in your hands to do those things which God would have us do. The power is in your hands to take each and every seed that you get. You can plant every seed that you get and make it into something special. And you can become a bearer of fruit, which is to say, what happens when you grow your tree and you get that fruit? What else are you producing when you produce that fruit? What comes in that fruit? More seeds. More seeds. First of all, nourishment comes from that fruit. We have nourishment. We can get what we need to live. We can feed on that. We can feast on what God has given us for our nourishment, but also it gives us more seeds to sow if we just listen. But he said to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And there is a big difference. You say, well, what is an example of the difference between being a hearer and a listener? Well, there's a good example that comes when Jesus was persecuted and when he was on the cross. It's a good example because it gives you two options. It gives you one. He was crucified with two thieves. And so one on the right hand and one on the left hand. This is a good simple story because it simplifies everything. There's one way and the other way. And the one thief said to Jesus, he said, he was angry. He was angry. Even though he had committed a crime, he was there for his own crime. But this is what he said to Jesus. He said, if you be the Christ, then save yourself and save us. If you be the Christ, save yourself and save us. What does that say? He had heard that Jesus was the Christ. He had heard that Jesus could save people. He had heard enough to know the claims of who Jesus was. He heard it. But he was a hearer only. He heard it and he was doubtful. He heard it and he was angry because he wasn't listening to what Jesus was saying about being saved spiritually. He just wanted to save his own skin. And so he heard the gospel, but he discarded it. But then there was another thief that was there. And he had heard the gospel also. And he had heard about Christ. And he had a whole different attitude. He had a whole different attitude. And he said, Lord, he chastised the other thief. And he said, are you not listening to anything that this man has done or said? And he said to the other thief, we are guilty. We have committed a crime. And that's what I say to you all also. We all are guilty. We're in the same boat. We're the two thieves on the cross because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. They told us that in the skit earlier. There is none righteous, no, not one. So we're all condemned already. We're on the cross. We are the two thieves on the cross here this morning. We have committed sins. We have committed crimes against God. But are you the kind that says, you know, are you the kind that doubts and says, if you be the Christ to save us? Or are you the one that says, remember me when you enter into thy kingdom. Because that's what the other one said. He said, this man had done nothing wrong. You see, he had been listening and paying attention. He heard that he was the Christ. And he listened. Because he heard what Jesus had to say, and he saw what others had to say, and he witnessed all these things, and he acted on it. You say, well, how did he act on it? He was on the cross. Well, he acted on it because he put his faith in Christ, and he acted on it by putting his life in Jesus' hands and saying, if you be the Christ, then save us or save me. And so we had a good example of a hearer and a listener. And Jesus rewarded the listener. He said, today, surely you shall be with me in paradise. And so there is a difference between listening to God. It's easy to come to church and get offended. It's really easy to come to church and get turned off by the preaching of His Word. Or if you pick up this book and read it yourself, it's offensive to all of us because we are offenders. We have offended His law. We have offended His statutes. In other words, we all read this and we should say, ouch. We all read this and we should say, I don't meet up to that standard. We all should read this and say, this hurts. But do we do something about it? And do we apply it to our lives? And do we let it do what that God intended for it to do, which is to save us? And so to listen to God, we have to know how God speaks to us through His heart or through our hearts. We have to know God's Word and hide it in our hearts. But most importantly, we need to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Why? Because it says we will deceive our own selves if we don't. We would deceive. How do you deceive yourself? It's as simple as this. God tells you one thing, and you come up with a reason to do another. That's how you deceive yourself. You say, it sounds really simple, but it's not. God told Adam and Eve, eat of any fruit that you want, of any tree of this in this garden, except for the one. And Eve deceived herself by thinking that she could get away with doing what God told her not to do. That's as simple as that. And so you can listen to God and what He says to do, or you can listen to what Satan tells us to do, or listen to ourselves and deceive ourselves. But He doesn't want us to deceive ourselves. As we get a song of invitation, I'll read this last part. John chapter 3, we know this verse. We know the meaning behind this verse. We could probably all quote this verse. John 3:16. It says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't just be a hearer of those words only, but be a listener of those words. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He goes on to say, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How do we know this conversation took place? Who was Jesus speaking to specifically when He talked in John 3:16? Nicodemus, right. He was speaking to Nicodemus. It was just him and Nicodemus on the rooftop. Have you ever asked yourself how it ended up in John? John wasn't there. It was Jesus and Nicodemus. Well, we know later on that Nicodemus does some things in Jesus' favor. He sticks up for him in front of the council. And then later he comes and he helps to prepare his body for burial. What this says to me is that Nicodemus listened to what Jesus was telling him in that moment. He listened to what Jesus was telling him. And then later, he recounted it to John to be put in the gospel. You see, he didn't just listen and was a hearer only, but he heard what Jesus had to say. And it changed his life. It changed his life. And it can change your life also if you allow God's word to come into your heart and you act upon it. And not just to take what God says and to set it aside and to never bear fruit or anything like that. Why should you do this? So that you deceive not yourself. As we get a song of invitation, if anybody has a need here this morning, we ask that you come and speak to God about it. You can speak to God anywhere. You can speak to God anywhere. But it's good to come and to humble yourself before and to allow others to pray with you. We don't use this altar near enough because maybe we're worried about what people think. Well, if we're worried about what people think, then maybe Christians aren't doing our job and being open and allowing and showing people that there's no judgment in coming to Christ. But we need to be open with each other, and we need to support each other. And we ask you to come so that we can pray with you. But if you have a need here this morning, if you don't know him, if you are listening to what God has to say, if you are listening this morning and God is telling you in your heart that you need to get closer to him, if God is telling you in your heart that you need to act to be more of a follower of him, then we ask you to act on that this morning. As we get a song and everyone stands.
Page 23.
Jesus is tenderly calling. Why from the sunshine?
You know, as they're going to look for another song here, I'm just going to tarry a little bit longer. Just, you know, we're going to have a baptism. We need to start planning a baptism. But the little ones are coming. The little ones are listening. The little ones are taking the message and applying it. But more and more, as time goes on, fewer and fewer adults are coming. Fewer and fewer adults are listening and heeding the call. And I'm including Christians also. We probably feel led to come more often than we do, and to come and to pray and to come and to seek His face. But you know, the children are listening, and I don't know what the answer. I know that maybe there's a lot more competing things out there to listen to as an adult than there used to be. But His word has not changed. And His spirit has not changed. And His commandments have not changed. In other words, what I'm saying is He's not speaking in a smaller voice than He used to speak. He's not speaking in a weaker voice than He used to speak. This Bible, these words have not become weaker. In other words, it's not the speaker that is the problem. It's the hearer and the listener. It's not God, it's us. And we aren't listening as much. Why is that? There's a lot of competing things. But the kids are listening. And I just pray about that. And maybe revival that will help us as Christians, us as followers, to get more serious and to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord and allow Him to speak to us. But how can He speak to us if we're filling our minds and with everything else? As we get as we extend the invitation, maybe you have another need here this morning. Maybe not. Nobody has a need, but if you do, and God is really pulling on your heart to take a step, don't ignore that. Don't ignore that calling as we get a song invitation.
Page 35.
Bless you, Chris.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your to come in?